is being ignored.
And the sad thing about this is
that when we brought this to Chris Krohn's attention 2 days ago, we still can't seem to get much positive response from him. It's as though, I guess maybe it's battle fatigue from the city council, or maybe Keith Sugar is worried because the newspapers have given him such a bad time for his quite bravely standing up and saying, let's ticket only on health and safety complaints, although the police could equally ignore that as well. There's a real kind of murky situation happening as far as I'm concerned. I'm hoping that the air clears. I'm hoping that we can really look into what's, get some real responses from these council members. But so far, the responses are all kind of like they're trying to pretend nothing is going on. Or they're saying, we're not going to do anything. If Catherine Byers is our gal, and whatever she says goes at the moment, is seems to be what's cooking. And that worries me. The sixth point passed was direct staff to report monthly for the coming year on enforcement activities related to the camping ordinance, including the number of calls for service, contacts, citations, and bookings, and to provide data for the last 2 to 3 years. So this was what our caller David Silva was talking about a few minutes ago, suggesting that the city staff, if you call into the city council at 429-3550, then push the pound key and say, end the sleeping ban and do it soon, like next week, you're already way overdue. That's one of those contacts in a certain sense, and the city staff is required to log that, and it is not logging that. And frankly, I've told council members more times than I care to say that they should ask the staff to do it, and apparently the staff just isn't doing it and they don't care, or the staff is doing it and isn't doing it and they don't know about it, or both. So it's something you must do. If you call the city council, call them at 429-3550, push the pound key and say, hey, end the sleeping ban, and please tell the staff to tally my call. I don't want it to disappear into a dark hole. Thank you. The seventh point was affirm that sleeping is a basic need and basic human right. Now that is good. It sounds good. It is good. I did mention that Catherine Byers eliminated covering up with blankets from it, which is kind of sad and kind of gratuitous on her part. I don't know what she was thinking. But again, the problem with this whole thing is that there was nothing done on the real substance of the prohibition against sleeping. The prohibition against sleeping is on. Well, they have a feel-good kind of Christmas wreath to, you know, kind of put around your neck as the police roust you from your place under the bridge. The police can say, well, you know, it's illegal to sleep, but remember, sleeping is a basic human right and a basic human need. Merry Christmas. That's the problem with number seven. Although seven was, I'm glad seven is there rather than not being there. It's just that it is so far from being enough that we really have to make the point a special session is needed, certainly action on January 12th, which they're still refusing to even talk about, and you don't want to wait till February to have discussions on this issue. And the eighth point was direct staff to investigate cheaper and locally managed alternatives to supplement the armory as a shelter. Again, this is long-term stuff. They aren't saying immediately open up a parking lot where there's a restroom and people can park their cars at night and then be gone during the day so they can have a safe place to be together. It doesn't say open up a part of Harvey West Park for tents during the night so people can have some protection against the cold and the rain for those who can't use the armory for various reasons. It doesn't say open up a public building or a warehouse, a shelter, which Mike Rutkin has always claimed he favors. No, it just says investigate cheaper and locally managed alternatives to supplement the armory as a shelter. Now, I suppose if you want to do investigation in a week and get something done, that might work. And I want to put in a real vote of thanks here to Gordon Pusser, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, who held a meeting on Monday night. I was very skeptical about it. I thought, oh, here's somebody who just wants to kind of, you know, go into the usual long-range shelter investigations that probably will end up leading nowhere in order to kind of take the steam out of real protests, and we might get together over the Christmas season. But when I got there, I found he was really interested in doing something now. He really wanted to see porta potties and bathrooms now. He wanted to see a campground open now. He wanted to see
And everybody else in the group did, too. So I've got to take my hat off to people, a lot of sincere intentions. And the idea that everybody has to wait on Catherine Byers' sense of timing, to me, is kind of a bizarre phenomenon, and one that doesn't seem to be suited to the so-called flavor, or the real flavor of this progressive campaign, where we're supposed to be in a condition where there's a variety of input from the people who elected these candidates. Not from Linda Steinau, not from the merchants and the police, not from reactionary residents in different parts of the city, but from the people who have voted these people into office. And for those of you who vote, it would be you and I. Enough of me. Here's an interview now, after this brief musical interlude, with a couple that chose not to sleep in the armory for what sounds like very good reasons.
My radio is trying to be free, trying to find its own identity. It said, why should I make profits for some fat ass CEO? Screw the FCC. Set your radio free. My radio is trying to stay in line, but it got tired of OJ all the time. It said, why can't I tell people things they really need to know? Screw the FCC. Set your radio free.
That's the divine voice of singer Carol Denny, Failure to Disperse, Set Your Radio Free. This is your radio, and I'm telling you, you're tuned to 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrob Spear Robert Norris. This is Bathrob Spear's Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, 2 hours every Thursday night from 6 to 8, 2.5 hours every Sunday from 11 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. Here's an announcement for you, which might be of use to those of you who have cable. On Channel 71 tonight on Club Cruise, Steve Argue, Kathleen Haley, Kate Wells, and host Nick Whitehead are, batting it out there on the recent jailing of Steve Argue for selling Street Spirit, the homeless newspaper. The Club Cruise includes a clip of Argue at the town clock challenging the John Dine case and a cameo of Hey, your very own talk show host Robert Norris selling papers in front of officers Garner and Malate 2 hours after Steve Argue was dragged into a police car in handcuffs after being thrown to the ground, his papers seized and held for 3 days thereafter. That's at 7 o'clock on Channel 71, Club Cruise. So run, do not walk, to your nearest cable TV if you have any friends who've got it and you want to listen in on it. Hey, it's a good issue. And if you can't get to the Club Cruise, you can also check the latest issue of Street Spirit. There's an article on page 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe it is. Or maybe it's 5, 6. It's on page 4 or 6 about the arrest of Steve Argue, his odyssey through the jail, the dropping of charges, and now, of course, he's pursuing a lawsuit. And it's worth pursuing yourself, because you never know when you may find yourself at the business end of a police set of handcuffs. We'll have more announcements on other items. We've been reading through the City Council's administrative business, what they passed around issue number 31 on last City Council agenda, which had to do with the sleeping ban and issues on homelessness. Not much was done, but there were a few things that got done. There was the human rights resolution by Chris Crone. There was Keith Sugar's brave attempt to get some real teeth into the compliance section, so that while the liberals were jabbering about the camping ban and having their meetings all over town with everybody but the homeless people, it seems like, that there would still be some protections for homeless people while this was happening. And Sugar tried very hard to do that. He was beaten back only when his own allies turned on him, and that was Catherine Byers and Tim Fitzmaurice, to, I believe, I don't want to say shame or disgrace, but I believe it was a bad decision on their part. It was wrong, and I hope they realize that and don't do that again. I think they need to follow that kind of leadership, not try to cut it off at the knees. I also promised that I was going to be playing a tape of a couple that quit the armory, and I will, but I want to say this very briefly before I do. We just played Carol Denny's Set Your Radio Free, and those of you who've been kind of close to Free Radio Santa Cruz have been following it know that the phone records of some of us, myself and another person connected with the collective, have been subpoenaed by the FCC. I regret to inform the radio audience that subpoena has been successful. We were unable to get legal assistance in time. The records have been seized by the FCC in terms of the they now know they have information about our phone numbers that we would rather they did not know. It's actually not that crucial information, but it's a matter of privacy and a matter of principle. They know what kind of phones we have. They know whether we have call waiting. It was really a series of trivial things, apparently, that they were trying to learn. However, it is a bad augury. It probably means the FCC is writing out a search warrant and trying to get a local judge to sign it. That is the advice of a local attorney on this issue. Several local attorneys, in fact. One local attorney and one distant attorney. And so, this may be my last broadcast of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. And I really hope that I'm completely paranoid or just overly apprehensive or, a little too weird in my thinking here, but that seems to be some of the wisdom that this station may be closed down shortly by the FCC. And why? Because we broadcast an alternate view. It's not because we interfere with airplanes. It's not because we are engaging in urging child murder. We're not corrupting this community. We are, in fact, fighting the real police corruption, the real corruption of abuse of authority by the City Council. We are fighting corruption by the chief executive and his murderous bombings in Iraq. This is the kind of information you're getting. I remember turning on the radio this morning and hearing a professor from Pittsburgh with an Arabic name explaining how it was the CIA who trained all those Afghani guerrillas back in 1980 who were encouraged to start a holy war against the Soviet Union. And then they turned on the U.S. It's kind of like the movie you see, State of Siege, or I think it's called The Siege Downtown. It's a so-so thriller, kind of interesting, about terrorism in New York City. But it's actually, there's a historical truth to the fact, according to what I heard on the free radio, that some of the major terrorists that are now, that went after, blew up bombs against U.S. troops because they're still in Saudi Arabia after the Gulf War I, were trained by and funded and recruited by the CIA in their attempt to play power politics against the Soviet Union and to get the have this Afghanistan rebellion, which of course now has resulted in this horrendous theocracy in Afghanistan, which has set Afghanistan back into the Middle Ages. So Free Radio Santa Cruz isn't essential. It really needs your support, and you can support us. Give us a call at the voicemail at 427-4523, and we'll tell you how. We have an incoming call, as you can hear.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, so, how do you look at the whole Iraq thing, you know? You think this guy's really stockpiling over there, that we need to go over and do something about it before he gets anywhere with it?
Well, I can tell you that there are plenty of countries that are stockpiling. There's no question about it. And
yeah. But why don't we go after them? Because it's just like, maybe it's just like the marijuana and the crack issue. They don't go after all the crackheads because the crackheads got bigger guns.
Well, I think the reason that Clinton is going after Iraq at this time is pretty self-evident. I mean, even the Republicans, who are not too bright about such things, seem to know what that's for. It's to avoid the impeachment, you know.
Yeah, they can't impeach a president during wartime?
Well, they're less likely to. You know, they'll postpone it a week. And he may be able to get some support during that time, but... Or it may be that, you know, he's just, you know, doing his usual muscle flexing.
Yeah.
I really have to plead some ignorance on the specifics around, you know, the UN compliance stuff. I know that the UN generally did not support the U.S.'s unilateral action. I know that.
You want to hear my pocket conspiracy for Clinton?
Go for it.
Okay. Party does that be? Ask them to delay actions. Delay, delay, delay. Said, don't worry, we'll come through for you when it counts. When it counted, they weren't there. Clinton got screwed, and he's going to have to answer up to the people, maybe even the people that told him to delay for some reason or another. Never given him a clear reason, and he's still trying to find one.
Are you talking about in Iraq?
No, with the Monica denial.
Oh, that. Scandal. Yeah, I mean, I frankly still tend to favor the view that anytime presidents get impeached in our system, it's generally a good thing, because even though this Monica Lewinsky thing is ridiculous, it is still, he's done so many things which I'd like to see him impeached, including destroy the welfare net and lie to the electorate about that and sell out rights for gays. It's just, I mean,
Well, I'm split on the Saudi thing, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of reasons I don't like Clinton. Usually, though, I don't talk a lot about national politics, because it's, you know, it's fashionable to talk about national politics, but the stuff we can really do something about is happening right here in town. And that's why I'm asking people to, you know, call city council around the sleeping ban issue, because, hey, there are people out there freezing their asses off, and we can actually affect it, so.
Right.
That's my
thing.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah. Have you? You want to talk about that at all?
No, I'll catch you later. I gotta go.
All right.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, caller. I hope I didn't put you on the spot there too much. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert. And here at last is the long-awaited tape about the two who chose the streets rather than the armory.
At 9:30, meeting with the Coffee Roasting Company on December 14th. And we're talking with... Kevin and Brandy, who've been in town for, 4 months?
Yes.
And you've been sometimes out sleeping in a tent, sometimes using the armory, sometimes on the floors of friends, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you were telling me, Brandy, that there are reasons why you chose to give up on the armory. What were those?
Well, because... like one night one person sleeps on one mat, the next night another person might get that mat. If that person is infected with like lice or scabies, the lice or the scabies gets transferred to the next person that sleeps on the mat. The same thing with the blankets. Not everyone has blankets when they go in there. So they have to use the blankets that they provide for people, you know, which is great that they provide these things, but they don't they're not able to keep them clean. And people who have lice or scabies or anything like that pass it on through the mats and the blankets. And because there's just so many people there, I didn't really get much sleep.
Because they were coughing and such?
Yeah, coughing and snoring. And another reason was because of the fact that you have to get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I was, you know, without getting any sleep, and then getting up at 5 and standing in the cold until it was a decent hour to go and look for work, it's, you know, too much.
What kind of work did you look for, Brandy?
I've been looking for waitressing jobs or housekeeping, like at motels or something. That's really what I'm qualified in right now. I also just started going to school to get my GED, and I was going to look into the JTPA program so that I could be trained for other job skills.
Have you been able to get any kind of work of that sort since you've been here?
Not really. It's just the wrong season for it right now.
How about you, Kevin?
I do a lot of different odd jobs. I do a lot of handyman stuff, work on the construction sites. Most of the jobs I get is out of San Lorenzo. Sometimes friends help me out and hook me up with a job that they're working with. But I do fairly good with working.
You've been on the scene here for about 5 years?
Yeah. I've been here about 5 years now, and doing all right. Just trying to get myself back into a place now, really.
Have you noticed any difference between how things are 5 years ago around you and how they are now around you here in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that's changed around in Santa Cruz. It's totally not what it used to be when I first came here. You know, when I first came here, they had the back 40 back then. You know,
the street open air shelter.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if they opened up something like that again. You know, where people can just legally go and set up a tent in a certain area and be able to sleep, you know, comfortably without worrying about getting harassed or getting tickets or, you know, waking up in the middle of the night and packing all your stuff and wondering where you're going to go next, you know. So it's really changed a lot since then.
There are those who say that the Coral Street Open Air Shelter was a place of violence and drugs and booze and messy campers. And what's your view when you hear that criticism of the camper?
Well, you know, in camping with the homeless, you got the people that sit there and drink, and you got the people that you know, just sit around and don't do anything. You know, you got your wing nuts. So it's a lot of different type of people there, you know. But, you know, if everybody gets together and after a while they're there, you know, people get to know each other and things kind of come together for, you know, within each other, because they kind of get a little respect of each other, you know. It's kind of small quarters maybe, you know, just I don't like living in a trashy place, so, you know, I'd be spreading the word and picking up stuff, you know, just saying, hey man, clean your stuff up, man, I gotta stay here too. No.
Brandy, you were previously somewhere else. Where did you come from, and how does it compare with here?
Well, previous to Santa Cruz, I came from Humboldt County up in the Eureka area. And I was homeless once or twice up there for short periods of time, one time which I lived on the South Jetty, which was similar to the back 40. It was a place where people went and they parked their trailers or put up their tents, and they could live there and pretty much peacefully. You know, and people said the same thing about the South Jetty that they say about River Street Shelter. Oh, it's just a bunch of drunks and drugs.
Coral Street Open Air Shelter.
Yeah.
River Street Shelter is this building where you can, you know, sign up for a list and be there for a month.
Yeah. Right. But
back 40 is what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, people said the same thing about the South Jetty as they say about that. And what I have to say about that is you know, in every community, there's your drunks and your druggies and your violent people, but not everyone is like that. And most of the homeless people are peace-loving people who want nothing more than to live a decent life. And yeah, we have hard times, you know, but not all of us are drunks or druggies or violent people, you know. You know, we just want to be able to live. We're having a hard time at the moment. We're out of work, or maybe we're working but aren't making enough money to get a place. That doesn't mean that we're druggies or drunks or violent people. It just means we're having a hard time.
Now you're having you told me you had a particularly hard time because in the course of the last 5 years, your children were forcibly taken away from you?
Yes. Last year, my children, unfortunately, were taken away from me. My children are, my youngest one just turned 4, and my oldest one will turn 6 in March. Last year, they were taken away from me by the court system in the state of Nevada because a man hurt my daughter, and not that I'm proud of it, but my parental instinct did kick in, and I did kick his butt royally, and the police did not look kindly on what I did to him, and they said that I was a violent influence. Since then, I went through, you know, it's been 16 months since then. The first 9 months, I went through serious depression, and I've been homeless ever since then. The first, like, 6 to 9 months, I just didn't care. Now I'm trying, and it's hard, especially since I let myself go this far, but it is pretty hard, especially with, you know, like at night when I want to lay down and go to sleep in my tent, and I have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to sleep all night there, and whether or not when I come home the next day from looking for work, my tent and everything is still going to be there, because the police do take your tent and your blankets and all of your belongings on occasion.
You say that's true in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
Yeah.
It has happened to me here.
It happened to you in the last 4 months?
Yes, about 2.5 months ago, I went out just to have a nice day. I went to the beach, and when I came home, my nice day was completely ruined because my tent had holes cut in it, and my blankets were gone. The mat that I slept on was gone. My personal belongings have been shuffled through, and...
Why do you think it was the police?
Because there was a little card that said, like, Santa Cruz Sheriff's Department on the front of it with a number and everything. And then on the back of it, it said, what was it?
Sorry, I missed you this time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I missed you. Catch you next time or something like that.
Boy, did this guy leave his badge number and his name?
No, he just left, like, a little card. It had a little picture of a badge and says Santa Cruz Police Department on it.
It was Santa Cruz, not the deputies. It was the local blue shirts, not the fellows outside the city.
I don't have the card anymore. I can't remember everything it said on it, but it said Santa Cruz Police.
Santa Cruz Police. Yeah. Any comment on this, Kevin?
I don't know, I just believe that if the cops do come, that they would just, like, leave your stuff alone, you know, because I've come back a couple times and had my stuff completely taken out of there. I've come home and my tent and everything that I had at my...
The last 5 year period, you mean?
Yeah.
And you think it's by police or other people?
It was by the police department and rangers.
And you know this because?
Because they left their cards there. They stuck it right on the tree.
They always leave a card.
They stuck it on the tree branch right above my tent.
When was the last time this happened?
This last time was, 2.5 months ago. Yeah, 2.5 months ago.
And was this the same incident both of you two were talking about, or was it a different incident for both,
yeah,
in both your cases?
Same incident.
Right. So before that incident, when was the last one before that that you remember?
It was about a year ago, year and a half ago maybe.
And it was again a Santa Cruz police officer who left a car?
I believe it was the Rangers.
What have you heard from other people who are camping outside or sleeping outside? Do you have much contact with them?
When we do have to go to the resource center to eat and stuff like that, we do know a couple people down there, and I've heard all sorts of people being frightened because the cops were roaming through their camp, you know, or they got a ticket and outrageous fines for it. I've known people, one of my close acquaintances has told me he just recently got out of jail. He spent a couple of weeks in jail for a camping ticket, you know, one that he got a long time ago, and he just barely became homeless again, and he got harassed by the police and they ran his name and he had totally forgotten about it.
An old warrant. Have you heard of any tickets in the last week or two that people have gotten, or hassles of that sort?
A friend of mine just got arrested down on the riverbank.
On the what?
Riverbank.
On the riverbank up on 9. They came down and there was a couple people camping down on the river, and they came down and ran names and told everybody they had to leave. And he came up with a camping ticket, so they arrested him.
I see. What do you guys think of Needle Exchange? I know it's been under police attack. Any comments on how they are?
Well, I personally don't use them. However, I think that it is a good idea because I believe that it lowers the risk of the HIV factor and other communicable diseases. I also think that, you know, I do know people who do use it, and they, you know, they think it's a good idea because, you know, otherwise they have to share needles with people. They have to go out and buy them off the street from other people or whatever.
Are you still harassing Needle Exchange as far as you know?
I don't really know anything about it other than...
I gotcha. And you've got no information yourself? Or?
I really think it is a good little operation they got going on there. You know, it keeps the viruses and all the diseases, you know, kind of down from spreading around with everybody, because, you know, if everybody's sharing needles and stuff, you know, AIDS and herpes and all that other stuff is just gonna, you know, take over.
Hepatitis, not herpes.
Well, whatever, you know, and, you know, if we didn't have Needle Exchange, just imagine how many people here would have so many transmitted diseases here in Santa Cruz. It wouldn't be just the junkies that would be getting them, because it'd go from the junkies to the people that don't even use the needles, because, you know, people
do date people and have sex with people, and, you know, if there's a junkie out on the street who's shooting up with somebody else's needle and catches something from him and then goes home to his wife or his girlfriend or just a fling or whatever, you know, transfers that, you know, it goes just around and around. It's a vicious cycle, you know, and I think that the Needle Exchange makes things a lot safer for those people who do use drugs and the people who date people who use drugs.
Anything that you two want to say to the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
To the Santa Cruz. Anything you want to say to the folks out there in Radio Land?
The homeless people aren't all bad. You know, there's a lot more good ones than there are bad ones. And, you know, if you could help, like with the sleeping laws and stuff like that, it would be really wonderful. Donations and stuff like that to the resource center and other places that help the homeless would be very much appreciated, not just by me, but by the people who work to keep the homeless factor down. and help the homeless people out as much as by as homeless people.
Cool. And you, Kevin, any comments?
Pretty much what Brandy said. It is pretty good that they have these resource centers, for people that they can go somewhere and eat and shower and wash their clothes and stuff. But they really do need a lot of help, the buildings are kind of ran down, and
I said we need more places like that, more resources for us, because there is a lot of us, whether we like it or not, and we do need help.
Take it. Thank you very much, both of you.
Don't pretend we're perfect, but we have endearing features. We're honest and we're always kind to God's four-footed creatures. Dogs and horses, hamsters, rabbits, little furry things. Lousy Europeans can't appreciate the pleasure that a little kindness brings. We're a nation of animal lovers. When Greeks were being tortured, then we always held our peace. We used to like to spend our summer holidays in Greece. Cats and ponies, butchers, moths and hairy caterpillars. Lousy Europeans can't appreciate the pleasure that these little creatures give us. We're a nation of animal lovers. When there's hangings in South Africa, we just avert our gaze. But we're tender-hearted to a fault with alley cats and strays. Remember how the nation nearly had a nervous spasm, breathlessly anticipating giant pandas' pleasure in a cuddly orgasm. We're a nation of animal lovers. When there's rioting in Brixton, we're impressively impassive. But we're cruel to a horse and our reaction then is massive. Guinea pigs and painted terrapin tropical fishes. Lesser races cannot understand the simple fact that it would meet with all our wishes if there were no human beings.
Okay, it's October 25th.
Is
it the 4th or the 5th?
24th.
It's Saturday in any case.
Yes.
And we're here in front of the New Leaf Market talking to
Edward DeBolt.
And Edward, you stayed for a while at the River Street Shelter.
Yes, I did.
And how long were you there?
9 days.
And you said that that abruptly came to an end?
Yes, that did.
And tell me how that happened.
I was coming up from work and I wanted to smoke a cigarette.
What kind of work do you do?
I work for a construction company up in Felden.
How did you find yourself homeless? Let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay, I was in a treatment center and I got kicked out of there. Uh-huh. And they kicked me out on the street. I've been homeless since April 11th of 98.
And why were you kicked out of the treatment center?
To stay at the treatment center, you had to have money, and I didn't have any.
Well, what treatment center was it?
Harbor Hills.
Really? So you actually just ran out of bucks?
Yeah.
Were you
insurance?
So how long had you been there?
I was there 5 months, from December until April.
And what were you being treated for?
Bipolar affective.
Which is depression of a sort?
Depression.
And are you depressed now, would you say, or how do you feel?
No.
You don't look depressed.
No.
So anyway, you went to River Street. You were on the street for a number of days, and then you went to River Street?
Yes, that's correct.
And did you have to wait a while to get into River Street, or did you have
30 days.
30 days.
There's like a 30-day waiting list, because there's like 2,500 homeless people, and every 72 hours, 13 more homeless people coming to this town. They come from all over the world and stuff.
Where'd you get those figures?
I read it in a newspaper clipping.
Huh. It's new to me, but that could be, who knows. I think that's probably somewhat exaggerated. I know we have 1,500 people every night, 500 to 1,500 every night have to sleep outside in the city limits. That's for sure in my mind. Anyway, you went to River Street.
I'm just talking about Santa Cruz County as a whole.
The county is larger, that's true.
Yeah.
So you went into the shelter and you were there for 9 days. How did the shelter treat you up to the time that you got this eviction?
Well, I was on like a thing where like if I talked back, did anything wrong, if the staff didn't like whatever I would say or do, they could kick me out at any time of the night. the morning, whatever they feel was what they got.
And for 9 days you had no problems?
Yeah, that's correct.
But on the 9th day, what happened?
I wanted to smoke a cigarette after I got off work, and I sat down next to this guy and he started cussing at me, right?
Were you in a smoking area or a no smoking area?
I was in a smoking area.
Uh-huh.
And he went into his room cussing at me and hollering at me, and I moved down underneath the awning, and he came out, started smoking a cigarette. He sat next to me.
Uh-huh.
He started cussing at me again. I told him, just go away, man. Just go away. I don't want to hear you, you know? And he had a, looked like maybe a machete, you know, it's kind of you like cut bushes and stuff, and he pulled it out off the side of him.
Uh-huh.
And he started running towards me because I had already jumped up and started to back off of him. And he came and tried to swing at me, so I kicked him in his stomach and in his head.
Uh-huh.
And then he got rid of the knife because, I don't know, he went to tell the staff on me because I kicked him. And so the staff, they come out and they like check him and look through his pockets and stuff, and he doesn't have it. So it's all my fault. I should have turned my back and walked
any
away.
Any witnesses or just this guy?
Just that guy.
Uh-huh. And about, this was during the afternoon this happened? Or?
No, this was 12:30 in the morning. So I was just out there smoking a cigarette. And
I thought people are not supposed to be at the shelter during the day. Is that a change?
Yeah, from 9:30 until 3.
So you guys just both happened to be there anyway? Or?
No, this is like 12:30 in the morning.
Right.
No, 12:30 p.m. is noon. 12:30 a.m., like 11 p.m., 12:30
sort of like a.m. So you're talking about like at midnight?
Yeah, midnight.
Wow. So they keep late hours at the shelter?
At the shelter, people stay there. They stay inside.
Right.
And I was just like, had went in and told them I was back. And when I went outside to smoke a cigarette, all this went down. They kicked me out. And then when I came down here, you know, I just stayed out at the Metro all night, and the Metro police kicked me off their property, and then I sat at the Mission steps.
How did that go?
It was cold. I didn't have anything. I wasn't prepared for that happening, you know.
So you've been out for how long on the street since you were ousted from the River Street?
A week and a half.
Yeah, and so you've mostly been I don't want you to reveal your secret sleeping spots necessarily, but where have you been generally?
I've been in cars, I've been in the bushes, I've been in the dirt.
Any hassles from the cops?
Yeah, I was in someone's car, but right where the, you know, the Santa Cruz Metro, they park our little buses up on River Street.
Yeah.
I was like in a car in a cult cot, you know, a little rounded, right next to the train tracks in a car, and they came over and shined the light on us, took our IDs, did NCIC. And you see, I'm not in jail, so that I didn't have
what
anything.
What does NCIC
wrong. Mean? NCIC is like a background check, like if you got any warrants, if they want you for anything, felonies, misdemeanors.
This is day or night that they did this check?
This is like, must have been at least 2:30 in the morning.
And did they give you a sleeping ticket?
No.
Did they let you continue to sleep?
No, they told us to leave, so we got in the car. Well, we started up the car and left, and we came down here and I walked around because the guy got paranoid because he has a house. He was just being nice, you know, let us sleep in his car. So he dropped us off and we walked around from like 2:30 in the morning until the next day.
Where do you intend to sleep tonight?
The Mission, because you're allowed to sleep there Friday and Saturdays.
Wow. Thank you very much. Anything you want to add for Free Radio?
Just that, you know, they need to fix this homeless situation, because, you know, if they could get, like, affordable housing, you know, it would be a lot easier. But, because, like, this is a tourist town. I lived here 19 years. All my family has lived here. And, you know, I'm the worst off. I'm the only one like this. And if they had something affordable.
What does your father do?
Huh?
What does your father do?
My father used to fly for United Airlines.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we got to go. I got to go.
Right, look.
So, thank you very much.
Thank
you very much. And thanks, Gina.
I got four new camping tickets.
You got four camping tickets.
Cool?
We're talking to
James.
Yeah. James, let's have a look at these camping tickets. What are the dates? Give us the approximate dates.
Last month.
And have they all been in one place or one officer? Mostly a variety?
Park rangers come up with their guns and everything. Flashlights, three of them at a time, you know, come up and wake up, you know, run a big time, you know, warrant check and all that, you know.
And you, I take it tonight you're also sleeping out.
Fuck out of here, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
But let's catch you tomorrow.
And so what do you do when this happens? Have you...
What can I do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Did it make you move, or...?
Yeah.
And when was the last ticket you got? About what?
About 3 weeks ago.
So have you been inside? Have you been careful, or have they been nicer?
Outside. I clean up my mess. I pick up other people's trash, stuff like that. Right. It doesn't matter. I still get, you know, they still come around.
Do you think that you are being targeted, or they're just being nasty?
They're doing it to everyone. I had another place that was way outside the city limits, way the hell out in the middle of the woods, and come back and all my stuff's gone, you know.
Do you think that was police, or do you think that was other
rangers.
People?
Park rangers. For sure, yeah, because it was there.
They're talking Poganip, or?
Yeah, no, way back there.
Way back, yeah.
Because out of the city limits, even. Way, you know.
I don't know, the park rangers then would be out of their jurisdiction if they did that.
Yeah. I think they can do it, though. They do it anyway, I guess.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Anything you want to say for Free Radio about the sleeping ban, about the situation?
They should change it, you know. They should change that law.
Thank you, John. James,
I don't exactly know how to come up with a solution.
Right.
I'm too busy running, you know.
All right. Yeah, well, the first thing is you make it legal for people to sleep since there's no legal place for people to be.
Right.
And, you know, you can arrest them for littering and crapping and...
That's one thing, yeah.
But not for sleeping.
Sleeping, yeah. People have to sleep.
Thank you very much, right. Man. Appreciate you checking in on this.
Good to see you again.
All right. Talking to an anonymous individual who got a ticket for bicycling on the sidewalk, which incidentally is not illegal in town generally, but just downtown on Pacific Avenue.
Take care, man.
How did this happen to you, sir?
Well, I had gone to use a phone at the parking garage, and one of the phones was out at the Locust garage. One of the phones was out of order, and then I went down the road to the other phone, and as I was coming around the corner by the little Chinese restaurant there by the bathroom, the Locust garage, Officer Headley and
Strong Headley, I remember him.
Officer Headley and Officer, oh, what?